The title of my talk is Let's Go Together. I'm going to be looking at Hebrews 13, 12 and 13. And so I know some of you like to follow in your Bibles, on your phones. So if you want to have Hebrews chapter 13 at the ready as I start, I'm just going to read Hebrews chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. It's a really easy reference to remember, Hebrews 13, 13. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. The Christian life is a journey. So much so we know the early Christians didn't call themselves Christians at all, but they were very familiar with the term followers of the way, which suggests movement, a journey. And that image of journeying used to be everywhere in Christian circles. We can think of, you know, the great classics like Pilgrim's Progress, displaying the whole of the Christian life as a pilgrimage. And we still use that term now. The classic hymns, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, Pilgrim Through This Barren Land. Again, that image of movement. More modern choruses, and I know this isn't very modern, but it was modern for us guys. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember when that was new? Is it just me, or is this image of journeying something that has just faded out a bit? I was struggling to think of modern Christian songs that conveyed that same image, but you know, probably somebody at the end of the service will tell me half a dozen. To put it another way, do you sometimes feel as if your Christian life has got a bit stuck? You were on a journey, you haven't lost sight of the goal, but just lately, maybe even just for a year or two lately, you feel you haven't made much progress. Bear with me, if in fact you are feeling full of spiritual beans and your Christian life is progressing by leaps and bounds, that is wonderful. And please share that experience with the rest of us for our encouragement and our renewal, and I'm not being in any way sarcastic about that, because we do travel as individuals, as Christians, but we also travel as a group, as a convoy, if you like, because we are a body of believers. And Christ calls us to live and travel together. So as a group, where are we going? What is our vision? As displayed on the screen every Sunday morning, I deliberately asked for a blank screen so nobody could cheat, but it's up there every Sunday morning for the last 5 or 6 years, and I'm not expecting anyone to say it word for word. This is not an exam. But what do we say that our vision is? What are we hoping?
To bring the unconditional love of Jesus.
Yeah, unconditional love of Jesus. For who? People of Stroud? Any of our answers on that? Yeah. And beyond. Yeah, between us, we know it. And we didn't just pick those words out of a hat. We spent a lot of time praying and thinking about the wording of that, and was that what we, you know, how we wanted to express our goal as a church? How do we feel that's going? How do we feel that's going for us? I know we had COVID lockdowns in between, and that's well in the past. What kind of progress do we feel we're making? Are the communities of Stroud District experiencing the unconditional love of Jesus? Are the communities of Stroud District and beyond experiencing the unconditional love of Jesus? Are we moving that along? Or are we feeling that actually we could be doing a bit better with that? And of course, as I say, we make progress as a group, we make progress as individuals. And if we just internally assess our own progress and think for a moment, yeah, is there movement there? Are things moving along? I'm not asking anybody to share their individual assessment. So that quotation from Hebrews, let us go outside the camp. What does that mean for us? I want to suggest another quotation from Hebrews, which might prove a useful diagnostic tool if we think, actually, we have stalled a bit. We could be moving further towards our goal. And this perhaps is a more familiar quotation. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We've got that race marked out, but we need to run it. And in order to run it, we need to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I don't think it is sin that is holding us back. Sin does easily entangle, but when sin is the problem, as it sometimes is, we kind of know how to deal with that. We know about repentance, we know about confession, we know about prayer to keep us safe from temptation. We could say we were experts in the field of dealing with sin because we've had to do it so often. It's the other stuff that's not so clear-cut, because the verse doesn't say, let us throw off sin that hinders. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders. Everything and sin. Everything including sin, which suggests there's stuff that's holding us back that isn't exactly sin. It's just not helping us. And unless we identify what it is, we won't be able to throw it off. I have a very good Christian friend. In fact, some of you know him. I won't name him. Who told me years ago that in order to make progress in his Christian life, he had to give up stamp collecting. And my impulse was to laugh. It sounds funny, doesn't it? But it was really a very serious matter for him. And when I brought my mum's old stamp collection into work to give to another staff member, and I saw this friend instinctively rise up out of his chair and reach towards it and then battle with himself and sit back down, I understood what that cost him. It's not a sin to collect stamps. But for him, it had become, at some stage in his life, in his past, an all-consuming passion, which was taking too much time, too much energy, too much money, and the Lord had shown him that that was holding him back, and he had to throw it off. That was his too much stuff. And each of us will have our own too much stuff. And it may not be physical stuff. We use the term emotional baggage, don't we? It's a very common term for stuff that you're carrying around emotionally, psychologically, that you actually want to get rid of. And sometimes it is physical. Some of us eat too much. Some of us diet too much. Some of us religiously, and I'm using that word religiously, deliberately, keep every scrap of paper that's touched our lives in the last 40 years or so because something terrible might happen if we got rid of it. The next day, we're going to need that gas bill from 1997. Some of us are so wedded to our hobbies, and again, I'm using that word deliberately, wedded to our hobbies, that they've taken over our lives. None of these things is sinful in itself. It's good to have a hobby. But the language that we use to describe them, if we're starting to say of something, yes, it's taking over our lives, that is a clue that there isn't something quite right there. And if you identified this in your life years ago and you've had your own struggle with it and you're feeling really guilty now that I've brought it up, oh, thanks a bunch, Elizabeth. You really made me feel miserable this morning. Am I making you feel like a failure? Don't feel like a failure. And don't feel that you are alone in your struggle, because we are in this together. Your struggles are my struggles. My struggles are your struggles. This is why we pray for each other and help each other along. That Hebrews verse, Hebrews 12, chapter 1, verse 1, sorry, says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Because we've got that body of Christians to inspire us and to accompany us, we can manage to throw off the stuff that's hindering us. And the writer to the Hebrews spends all of chapter 11 taking us through the book of Genesis, through Exodus, into Judges, talking about heroes of the faith who laid stuff aside and moved on in their life with God. And I'm not going to go through everyone, otherwise we'd be here till next week. But if we just look at Genesis for a minute and consider Abram, later Abraham, I've mentioned before how much it struck me at the last leaders' conference when somebody just said, and it was a throwaway line, Abraham was a city boy who was called to leave the city and live in a tent. Because we have that kind of Sunday school image of Abraham, illustrated Bible or whatever, our image of Abraham is somebody already living in a tent. Somebody who's moving around, probably moving very slowly because he's got flocks and he's got herds, but he's moving. But if we look back at Genesis 11, 30 to 32, we see that Terah, the father of Abraham, started off on that journey. This is Genesis 11, 30 to 32. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of Abram, and together they set off from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But, massive but when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. That really resonated with me. Terah was supposed to be going to Canaan. He set off okay. He was moving along. He got as far as Haran and he stopped. He never moved on. He settled, he got comfortable, and that was the end of his journey. It's very tempting to settle in a city. Cities are great places. They've got everything you need. And in the time of Abram, and indeed in the time of Jesus, the whole of biblical history and beyond, into our own medieval, even civil war times, the city represented security. There is a green hill far away outside a city wall. Cities have walls. Camps have fortifications. The camp of Hebrews 13, 13. Let us go outside the camp. It's not a jolly holiday camp where we all spend a few days in the sunshine singing songs. No, it's an encampment to keep you safe. And in fact, in those verses 13 and 14, the writer to the Hebrews uses the term city and camp interchangeably. If I read the previous verse, Hebrews 13, 12, and then run it into verse 13. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gates to make the people holy through his own blood. And then it goes on, let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. So we know Jesus literally went out of the city. But what does it mean for us now to go outside the camp? I think we all grasped it doesn't mean we all have to move house. Although some of us in this congregation were called to move house at a specific time in our lives, to be obedient to God's leading, and did so. But the camp is that place of security. It's a place where you feel safe. And so we have a natural reluctance to go outside the camp because it's risky out there. We all want to stay in our comfort zone. We are not alone in this. We are, as Christians have been all through the ages, affected by the culture around us. We absorb its influences. We develop the same problems. When I mentioned a few of the things that might be holding us back, gave some examples off the top of my head, those are examples that are problems in our society in general. Obesity is a big problem in our society. Eating disorders of all kinds abound in our society, which has completely lost sight of the concept of food as fuel. Hoarding is another massive problem. Such a big social problem in Gloucestershire that Gloucestershire County Council now offers a free counselling service, support service, to help people who recognise that they have the problem of too much stuff. You can check that out on the Stroud District Council or Facebook page. Stroud Hoarding Support is now meeting in our new library once a month. And in offering this service, Gloucestershire County Council have pinpointed something very important. People don't hoard stuff because they want the stuff. Often they actually want to get rid of the stuff. This applies to emotional stuff too. Often they want to get rid of the stuff, but somehow they can't. And as Christians, we struggle with the stuff we need to let go of, whatever it is, and we beat ourselves up and we tell ourselves it's sinful. We're sinful, we're greedy, we're lazy, we're selfish, we're whatever. I want to suggest that in most cases, the reason Christians can't throw off whatever stuff it is that they need to throw off is not greedy or selfish or lazy. It's much more because we're insecure. We all want to stay in the camp with a nice big wall around it. Even if we're pretty miserable in the camp, at least when we're in the camp, we know where we are and we kind of feel okay with it. It's what we're used to. And it's really scary to leave it behind. Martin and I were just talking this morning before the service about how churches are great at starting things up and not so good at recognising when they've outlived their usefulness. And the time has come to let that particular practice or tradition or whatever it is go. And okay, it is scary. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. Oh, sure, let's do that. It sounds really, really attractive. You're really selling this to me. But there is more. Why should we go outside the camp where all this scary stuff is going on? Because here we do not have a lasting city, but we are looking for the city which is to come. The camp where we feel safe is an illusion. It doesn't last. It's not where we're really safe, just where we feel safe. The place of safety is the place where God wants us to be. I can speak from personal experience with hoarding bits of paper. I turned out a drawer of a filing cabinet this week. It was all neat and tidy in the filing cabinet, wasn't it? It wasn't clutter because it wasn't lying around the house, so I'd filed it. It was all good. Except as I looked through this drawer of the filing cabinet, which I could no longer actually use as a drawer because it was so stuffed full of stuff, I asked myself over and over again, why have I kept all this stuff? And I will confess that I had kept an awful lot of it as documentary evidence that I was right about something and somebody else was wrong. So this week I threw it all out. And I feel so much better. I mean, there were records there of disputes with my head of department that I'd forgotten I'd ever had. No idea why I was keeping that. Except at the time it had seemed important to keep it. But it was far more important to throw it away. Right? Keeping it was never going to achieve anything. Throwing it away has achieved something. I have space in my filing cabinet and I have a lighter heart and I have greater joy. So if you are feeling there is something that's holding you back but you're scared to let go of it, whether it's a physical thing or an emotional thing or both, here is a word of encouragement for you. The Bible does not say, right, you're on your own, kid. You have to go outside the camp and suffer the way Jesus did. The message is, let us go outside the camp. We do this together. We support each other. And the scary place is not, in fact, where we're going. We are going through the scary bit to the city which is to come. In fact, in a sense, we're already there because it's our city. And what a city. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. We should go outside the camp because that's where Jesus went. And we want to be where Jesus is, and that's where we're going to end up, seated with Jesus. Hebrews 12:22, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. Wow! That's our destination. Let's throw off the stuff that's holding us back and leave the camp and go to the city that God has prepared for us. Together. Let's do it.